so much work. Always so much work.
Which one? Which one? Can you both say it out loud? Yeah, that's right. Have you seen that in your Bible? In your Bible stories? Yeah? And what was happening there? There was a big celebration. What kind of a celebration?
Wedding.
Wedding, that's right. And who all were there at the wedding? At least people that we knew.
Jesus
and? Mary and?
Joseph.
I don't think, I'm not sure Joseph was there.
Was that?
The master of the feast and the bride and the groom and adults?
Disciples.
Yeah, the disciples. And what happened? Something shocking. Well, before that. No more
wine.
No more wine. That's right. And then Mary came and said something to Jesus. And then what happened?
Listen to my son.
That's right. And what did Jesus ask them to do? Fill water in those big jars. You'll see a picture of those jars later on. And then what happened? He took a cup of water and took it to the master of the feast. And the water was so delicious. Was it water?
No.
It was wine. All right, so we've listened to the story in a skit, and we're going to listen to the story being read at some point. But now we're going to get into worship. Erin, she's going to come and teach you some actions, not just for the kids, but the adults too.
Okay, so if everybody could stand up, I'm going to show you guys what the actions are. Your hearts, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight. Okay, thank you so much.
Please take a seat. We're going to be listening to the word being read out, and Zachary's going to read it for us.
Today's reading is from John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. The wedding at Cana. 2 days later, there was a wedding in the town of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his followers were also invited to the wedding. When all the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus answered, "Dear woman, why come to me? My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." In that place, there were 6 stone of water jars. The Jews used jars like these in their washing ceremony. Each jar held about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled the jars to the top. Then he said to them, "Now take some out and give it to the master of the feast." So the servants took the water to the master. When he tasted it, the water had become wine. He did not know where the wine came from, but the servants who brought the water knew. The master of the wedding called the bridegroom and said to him, "People always serve the best wine first. Later, after the guests have been drinking a lot, they serve the cheaper wine. But you have saved the best wine till now." So in Cana of Galilee, Jesus did his first miracle. There he showed his glory, and his followers believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Now we've seen the story being played out. We've heard the gospel being read out. But the story actually takes place before chapter 2 already from John. And to understand it really well, we have to go back. And what was happening in 1 John? This is when John the Baptist, his cousin, was preparing the way for him, pointing Jesus to everyone over there and saying that this is the Lamb of God that's come to take away the sins of the world. Now, the first disciples had slowly started to follow Jesus at this time, and the whole baptism took place, and there was this whole sense of anticipation, a sense of waiting, and they knew that this was the Messiah, and they were waiting to see how, what he was going to do, or how this was all going to be coming out. Then almost surprisingly, John, the disciple who wrote the gospel, takes us to a particular place. It's not the temple, or the synagogue, or a mountaintop, or a boat parked by the river with lots of people there. He takes us to a small place called Cana in Galilee to a wedding. And it's an ordinary, joyful setting, full of celebration. Like I said, weddings in ancient Jewish times took place for days. And it was just not family and friends, it was the whole community that came together to celebrate. And hospitality was everything. So if something ran out, like food or wine, it was a big shame, a big embarrassment. Now, Jesus was there with his disciples. Jesus' mother, Mary, was there. And she noticed that wine had run out. Small practical problem. But something that had a huge social consequence. So she turned to Jesus. I don't know what she expected him to do or say, but she knew that he would respond in some way. So her words to Jesus were really simple. They have no more wine. It wasn't a request. It wasn't a command. It was just an observation. And Jesus' reply catches our attention. I like the one that Zachary read. Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come. Now, when you first hear this, you think it seems a bit rude or a bit distant or even confusing. Why is he saying this? But Jesus wasn't trying to just, you know, tell her to go away or keep quiet, or he wasn't trying to be rude. He was pointing to a deeper timing and a deeper purpose in all of this. Now, Jesus says right after that, he says, my hour is not yet come. What does that mean? Now, in many places in John, my hour points to the time when he is meant to be suffering, to die on the cross, and that hour hasn't come is what he was indicating. It's as though Jesus is saying, what I came to do, what I came to bring, this new joy, this completion of your salvation, that time has not yet come. So even before that appointed time, Jesus chose to act. So if you saw the picture, and I think there's another one, can you go to the next? This is how a Jewish wedding would look like, the next one. This is how large those stone, it wasn't made of clay pot, it was made of stone. And it said 20 to 30 gallons, and that's roughly about 75 to 120 liters. Well, this is just to show you a picture of how it looks like. This is not the exact one that Jesus used. So this is just to show you how big they are. And the servants had to fill this full of water till the top. What's that? Is it? Well, I don't think they used wine bottles. They might have used jugs, but this is what they filled the water in. Now, this is not for wine purposes, actually. This is for cleaning purposes. And it's a very ritualistic practice that you had to do before you would go into the temple to clean yourself, to purify yourself. And Jesus used that stone jars to fill water in. And as you heard, something extraordinary was going to happen. So quietly, without any big fanfare or ceremony, he told the servants, fill them up. And then it suddenly turned into wine. Not just any ordinary wine, but really, really good wine. And here in this quiet moment, somewhere at the back where the servants were, Jesus performed his first miracle. Now his first sign, this is the first sign that we are being introduced to, is something that was not spectacular. It wasn't feeding the 5,000, it wasn't raising somebody from the dead. But this had deep meaning. And only a few people knew about it. Just the servants, Mary, the disciples, the master of the banquet. So there was no applause or big proclamation or big ooh and ahs or anything like that. God was slowly, quietly breaking into that small, quiet space. So Jesus doesn't begin his ministry with something dramatic, but he is showing a sign of transformation, the water turning into wine. And he's taking that ordinary and turning it into something extraordinary. He takes these stone ritual cleaning jars and turns them into vessels of joy. And he's showing all of us to the new covenant that through his blood, and it'll be poured out just like the wine was being poured out, his blood will be poured out for the world. So in this moment, in a small town setting where a wedding was happening, the stage was set. Jesus begins his ministry. And it is the start to something greater that is going to come. And immediately after that, it just goes on to all the miracles that he was doing, all the new disciples coming in, miracles happening. It just keeps going. It's started. There's no slowness about it. There's no, you know, rest and moving around, or it just goes on. Now, why have I spent these few minutes describing all of these? Because I think it is important to know where it's happening, what has happened before, why stone jars, why wine? So what? Wine ran out. Everybody go home. But it is important to know where the setting is to truly understand the magnitude of this event. Now, towards the end of the service, Pamela is going to come and explore with us what it means for us here now, in this time. And before we go into our worship, we're going to have a testimony. Now, we've heard the word testimony, both adults and children. Do you know what it means, testimony? Have you heard of that, kids? Adults? Testing something. Well, the word test is in there, but not exactly. Anybody? Testimony. Okay. Now, it is telling something true that has happened in your life, telling others what has happened in your life, basically, on how God has helped you or answered your prayer or done something small or big. And that helps others who are listening to trust in him. I was just in the car coming, and there was a song called My Story. I can't remember who sang it, but in the end it said, I tell my story so that I can tell you about him. And I thought that is so, the song just came up. So next time, kids and adults, when you hear the word testimony, don't get afraid, don't get confused. This is what it means. And Johan is going to come up to tell us his testimony.
So just a few final reflections as to so what. We've heard about the water. We've heard about this amazing story. We've heard story of how God used an ordinary couple in an ordinary Mexican restaurant in Eindhoven to share his love with a stranger. Now, there's one thing in verse 11, and it's slightly different to the version we had read, but it says this in verse 11. This is the first of his signs that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And it manifested, big word for showed, his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So a sign, or another word for it in the original, is a signpost. So what is a signpost for? Could I have the slide? the Efteling. Who likes the Efteling? Ooh, yes. We went there yesterday. But can you imagine if we'd driven up, we'd seen the signpost to the Efteling, and we'd stopped the car and got out and went, ooh, look at this lovely signpost. Let's stay here. This is amazing. We would not have enjoyed the blessing of the Fliegende Hollander, or not so much the blessing of the Python. But we wouldn't have experienced the real thing. We would have got stuck at the sign. And this sign, as Manji already mentioned, was done in an ordinary place, in an ordinary community, and really only the two servants, or however many servants there were, and the disciples and Mary knew about it. And yet, the disciples didn't go, oh, wasn't that wine amazing? Oh my goodness, that was so fantastic. Look how much wine there was. And they went, let's give Jesus the glory for this. Let's believe in this guy, because he is the one that matters. So let's not get too stuck on what Jesus is going to do, but on who he is and how we can love him more. So that's one thing. God works in the ordinary. So if we have ordinary little situations that are just in front of us, the next thing we have to get up and go to work and we don't feel like it, let's take it to Jesus. If we're struggling with things, or sickness, or exam week, let's take it to him. Social media is telling us, you gotta be good, you gotta be great, you've gotta have a own business by 23, otherwise you are a failure. But Jesus just says, just give me the ordinary things and let me do something with it. And we sang that song, Trust in the Lord, and don't lean on your own understanding. We often don't understand what he's doing, and we often pray and we don't necessarily see what the answer is. Like even the servants, he said, fill it up with water and then take the water to the master. He didn't just automatically give the solution to the wine problem. He just said, listen to me and let me take care of the rest. And there's a lovely verse that says, whoever gives a cup of water in my name will not be forgotten. So in 1 Timothy 4:12, we are focusing at the moment every week a little bit of a practicing acts of kindness in the little things. So don't underestimate giving a cup of water to somebody when they need it. Don't underestimate if someone drops a book, picking it up and giving it back to them. A simple cup of water offered can bless. A simple cup of water offered at that wedding blessed a whole community with a party. Like the disciples, we are called to notice, believe, and participate in God's ongoing work of bringing joy, abundance, and maybe, I think, the most important, transformation. He takes ordinary people like us and he transforms us into something that can be used to bless others. So when we sing that song or when we read that psalm where it says, this is the day that the Lord has made, we might rejoice and be glad in it. No, we will. Let's choose to rejoice in the simple things and in the big things, in the abundance and in the lack. Because we don't know when we will have the next day. It's a gift, so let's rejoice. It's a choice. We don't have to feel happy. We don't have to feel that things are wonderful, but we can still choose to rejoice in the Jesus who transforms us. And if Jesus sat in the midst of a joyful occasion, thinking of that hour, sipping the sorrow that he was going to have, how much more can we, in the times of our sorrow, remember the joy that's coming? And if God is for us, no one can be against us. So let's Stand and sing that now together. Amen.